ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवय भगवतिरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, Text 7.
Brahmanyonyah kuto nabhe
Vipramangala
pujitaha
Yasya
parhishi yajnesham
Darshayamasu
ब्रह्मण्योऽन्यः कुतो नाभे विप्रामङ्गलपूजिताः यस्य बर्हिषि यज्ञेशम् दर्शयामासु रोचसः ब्रह्मण्योऽन्यः कुतो नाभे विप्रामङ्गलपूजिताः
ब्रह्मण्यः
ब्रह्मण्यः
अ डिवोटी ऑफ द ब्राह्मणास
देवनी ऑफ द ब्राह्मणास
अन्यः
अन्यः
एनी
अदर
कुतः
कुतः
वेरिस
वेरिस
नाभेः
नाभेः
बिसाइड्स महाराजा नाभी
बिसाइड्स महाराजा नाभी
विप्राः
विप्राः
ब्राह्मणास
मंगलपूजिताः
well worshipped and satisfied
yasya
sattu
varhishi
in the sacrificial arena
yajna
isham
the
supreme personality of Godhead
the
enjoyer of all sacrificial
ceremonies
darshayam asuhu
darshayam asuhu
show
Ojasa,
by their Brahminical prowess. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Translation. The second prayer is this. Who is the better worshipper of Brahmanas than Maharaja Nabhi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction. The Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaja Nabhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana in person. But the Brahmanas engaged as priests in the sacrificial ceremony were not ordinary Brahmanas. They were so powerful that they could bring forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their prayers. Thus, Maharaja Nabhi was able to see the Lord face to face. Unless one is a Vaishnava, he cannot call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord does not accept an invitation unless one is a Vaishnava. Therefore, it is said in the Padma Purana, Sat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharadah avaishnavo guru nasyat vaishnava svapacho guru. A scholarly Brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But a person born in a Vaishnava family a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava. These Brahmanas were certainly very expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. They were competent in the performance of the Vedic rituals, and over and above this, they were Vaishnavas. Therefore, by their rituals, by their spiritual powers, they could call on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and enable their disciple, Maharaja Nadi, to see the Lord face to face. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura comments that the word Ojasa means by dint of devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadbhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakhamritamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha
Hare Krishna. In the translation again.
The second prayer is this. Who is a better worshipper of the Brahmanas than Maharaja Nabhi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction. The Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaja Nabhi the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana in person. So, we are actually seeing there are two verses that the Brahmanas are glorifying King Nabhi. Now, in this episode of King Nabhi, who is the son of Agnidra, who is one of the sons of Agnidra, which we saw that Agnidra actually wanted to he wanted to marry. It's a nice, interesting flow we have got. Priyavrata Maharaj did not want to get married. So he went away from his duty. Then Ramaji had to personally come to pull him out to say, hang on, you are a Kshatriya. Your duty to worship the Lord is by doing your karma, not going to the forest. So you have to execute your duty. So your karma, your dharma is to execute a Kshatriya's life. So you should come back and rule the world. So Priyavrata Maharaj was drawn in and he didn't want to even get married. Then his son, Agnidra, wanted to get married. So Brahma did not come. So he sent Purushottam. Now his son, Nabhi, has got married but he wants a son. So he is again going to the Lord. So the lessons in Bhagavatam is quite interesting because all of this have to be augmented in terms of devotional service. So in here, the intent of begetting a son is auspicious. So Bhagavatam is teaching us that having a child is not a child's play. It's a very, very auspicious activity because that is the way through which it paves a human form of life to be made possible. So it's an auspicious activity. And how it has to be done, Bhagavatam teaches us actually. And more glorious than this is the intent to reach Lord Vishnu to beget his son. Akama sarva kama ova moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajate param. So reaching Vishnu or approaching the Supreme Lord, even if you have material desires, it's still glorious because Krishna glorifies them as Sukritina. So this is one of the theme that is coming up, and then how Maharaj Nagi actually was approaching the Lord through the vision, through the service of the divine brahmanas, the devotees of the Lord. So this is coming very apparent. Now what is also coming apparent here is what's interesting is this beautiful work, Srimad Bhagavatam, always doesn't stop from surprising us. Because on one side, we know that the brahmanas have manifested the Supreme Lord. Now the Supreme Lord is everywhere. He's there everywhere. It is just that by the dint of the devotees, the brahmanas, he becomes visible to us. Because he's there everywhere. He's there right now, right here. But he's not visible to us. Or we don't have the eligibility to see him, to put it correctly. And the brahmanas manifest the Supreme Lord for King Nabhi. So he's making Nabhi to take audience of the Lord. They're invoking the Lord. So in the same way, we know that Srimad Bhagavatam also is Krishna himself. Is not? Krishna Swadhamopagate Dharman Jnanadibisaha Kalavanashta Drishamesha Puranarkodunoditaha. So Krishna has arisen as that Purana. So Krishna in Bhagavatam also is Krishna. Now what's interesting is Srimad Bhagavatam and the Acharyas are constantly striving to show us Krishna. And we have to develop that vision to see Krishna. So what's interesting is Vedavyasa also is trying to show us Krishna here, right now. Right in this canto. How is that? Now if you see, Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. Yeah? And these 18,000 verses are divided into how many cantos?
12
cantos. And we see that these 12 cantos is actually a representation of the body of the Lord as well. Starting from canto 1 and 2, which is the lotus feet of the Lord. And 3 and 4 are the thighs of the Lord. And 5 is? What is 5? So it's basically based on the cantos, Vedavyasa is trying to show us the darshan of the Lord. We have taken the darshan of the feet, we have taken the darshan of the thighs. 5 is trying to show the navel. What is navel called in Sanskrit?
Nabhi.
Now the story of King Nabhi coming in the 5th canto is not incident with the history of Nabhi. Vedavyasa is so instrumental to put King Nabhi's history here to say, hey, I'm reminding you of something. It's the navel of the Lord. I'm giving the darshan of the Lord through the King Nabhi. So it has to take us through the navel. Oh, Nabhi means the navel of the Lord. So Vedavyasa also is trying to give us the darshan of the Lord through the canto, through the characters that come in the Bhagavad. So this is the beauty of, this is the glories of Srimad Bhagavad. So this is trying to look from Srila Vyasadeva's point of view. How is Badarayana Rishi trying to show us the darshan of the Lord through the study of Bhagavad. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, we saw that Sukadeva Goswami is telling this to Parikshit Maharaj that the Brahmanas are now glorifying King Nabhi. And this whole system of the Brahmanas glorifying the Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas serving the Brahmanas is a symbiosis. It's a framework that the Lord has created, and it has to be paraspara. Matchitta matgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. Parasparam means between themselves, glorify each other. And not false glorification, but genuine glorification. So we saw the first, the prayer, verse number 6 yesterday, was they were saying, who can attain the perfection of Maharaja Nagi? Who can attain his activities because of his devotional service? What was that? Hari Shuddhena Karmana. The service that Nabhi performed is termed as Harishuddhena. Shuddhena Karmana Harihi. Purified activities that is meant to please Lord Hari. So therefore they are glorified. That's why he is just not a Kshatriya, he is a Raja Rishi. If you see the verse, Kol Tat Karma Rajarshe, that's the word the Brahmanas or Sukadeva Goswami uses. Rajarshe, Raja Rishi. So now they are glorifying. Who is a better worshipper of the Brahmanas? Now they are saying, yes, you please the Hari. Now they are bringing to the perspective that you actually worship the Brahmanas. Now, this is a very important aspect that we have to understand, because serving Brahmanas is a key activity of devotional service. Why? Because Krishna himself is, what is the verse? Namo Brahmane Devaya, Bho Brahmana Hitaya. He is the Hita Chintak. He is the benefactor of Brahmana and Go, the cows. So therefore, worshipping the Brahmanas is a very auspicious activity. And therefore it is glorious, because it's not different from worshipping Hari. Now what Brahmanas we are talking about here, we will see and soon. Because Vedavyasa unveils that characteristics of those Brahmanas which Nabhi is actually worshipping. So the verse starts as, Brahmanyo anya kuto nabhe Brahmanyo. Here, King Nabhi is serving the Brahmanas. So the Brahmanas actually glorifying that you have served the Brahmanas. In one sense, you have served us very nicely. And we have become very satisfied by your service. We have seen time and again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like in Canto 1, there was this verse in chapter 1 called Shushrusho Shraddhadhanasya. Vasudeva Katavichiti, Syan Mahatsevaya Vipraha. Syan Mahatsevaya Vipraha. So, that service which is done towards the Brahmanas is Mahatseva. It's great service. And what will happen because of that? Vasudeva Katavichiti. So, one will start developing taste in Vasudeva Katha by serving the Brahmanas. So, how do I get attracted to Sri Hari? By service. By serving the Sri. Bhagavata, Bhakti Vedanta. We see this episode even in Narada Muni's pastime. Upabharana is born as a maid servant boy, and while serving as maid servant, the Brahmana, the Bhakti Vedantas visit her, and the maid servant is serving them. And Narada Muni, as a little boy, is serving the Bhakti Vedantas. So, because of his service, the Bhakti Vedantas bless him with devotional service, and that's how he became Narada Muni in that sense. We will see. So therefore, this Syan Mahatsevaya is very important. And again, in the third canto, it is called as Satam Prasanga Mamabiryo Kovido, Samvido, sorry. Bhavanti Hritkarna Rasayana Kata. If we actually, Satam Prasanga, if we are associating with devotees, Satam, we are called as, Satam means the truthful, or the pious. What happens is, Bhavanti Hritkarna. Hrit means the heart, Karna means the ears. So when our ears and heart gets purified by their kataha, and then what happens? Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. What happens? Shraddha comes, the faith in the Lord Hari comes. Shraddha Rati comes, attachment comes, and Bhakti comes. Naturally, by serving the Brahmanas. It's amazing. Anukramishyati, gradually it will develop by serving. And this is what King Nabhi is doing. King Nabhi is serving the Brahmanas so that through the vision of the Brahmanas he can witness the Lord, and then he can put forth his request of begetting a son. And it is purifying. And as we know that these are glorious personalities, they are Mahajanas, because not in the strictest definition of Srimad Bhagavatam, but they had a purpose here for populating the planet or the universe. So therefore, begetting a son was very important from that perspective. Begetting a child was important from that perspective, to have a righteous and a pious jiva to take birth. So therefore, he approached the Brahmanas in that sense. But when he approached, you know what happened? He asked, I need a son like you. And the Brahmana said, my dear Lord, you have come, but it's almost like asking in a haystack. Like you are asking a very tuccha, very benediction which is very low class, when you could have asked for liberation. The Brahmanas are saying this. So therefore that indicates that they are pure devotees of the Lord. And yet, we know Nabhi is asking because for a specific purpose. And at the same time, the Brahmanas, Sukadeva Goswami also says, Brahmanyo anya kruto nabhe vipramangala pojita. These Brahmanas were just not Brahmanas. They were just not, they were just not layman terms of, you know, okay, they did not know anything, not like that. They were very learned. Prabhupada repeatedly writes in the purport that they had their Brahmanical prowess. They could chant the Vedic mantras, they were erudite scholars, and they knew on top of it the purport of those mantras. So that's also very important. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra keve ne noy, yeh Krishna tattva vetta se guru. So therefore, we have to understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what is important is not just being vipra or not just being brahman, you have to be both. What is that? The trait of a qualified devotee is he is well learned, well versed in the scriptures, and at the same time, he knows the purport of those scriptures. What is the purport? Veda patha bhaved vipraha. And the second thing is brahmana. Brahma janate iti brahmana. So both of the understanding has to be there if one has to be called as a Vaishnava or a brahmana. So brahmana and vipra together put is called as a Vaishnava. So this is what is coming out in the verse. So therefore, if you see, Sukadeva Goswami is saying they were brahmanas and at the same time they were vipras. But if you observe in the current society, especially when you go and observe it in India, even to this day, people do not understand this in a very deep sense, that brahmana doesn't mean that someone is by birth. It is meant by qualification. One cannot become a brahmana just because he is born to a brahmana father. One has to develop the qualities and one has to develop the activities of a brahmana. Only then he can be called as a brahmana. That's one thing. The second thing, that's external. And the internal is one has to understand that brahmana means brahma janati iti brahmana. That he should be realized that I am Brahman, I am a spirit soul, and I am part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Mamai vamsha jiva loke. And only then he can be called as a brahmana, otherwise he cannot be called as a brahmana. I remember I was in close touch with one of my schoolmates on social media, and after probably 25 years we got in touch with each other, and I knew he was a brahmana, and he was also proud that he was a brahmana. So we got in touch, and then I also wanted to kind of show off thing, saying I'm also practicing something auspicious, you know. I was not born in a brahmana family. So I sent him some quotes, I sent him Prabhupada's texts, I sent him some kirtans. Then he immediately got attracted to it. And then we started building a relationship, we started talking to each other, the aspects of Govinda, the aspects of Krishna, and we both were enjoying it. And then somehow or the other I came to the point of chaturvarnam maya shrishtam. I said, glorious are those who have developed the traits of brahmana. Immediately he was so angry. He said, that is false understanding. You have not understood it correctly. The real understanding is brahmana is by genetics. Oh. I said, how is that possible? Then I gave him some verses to justify. He said, I can send you 100,000 more verses to justify my point of view. He was learned in that sense. I wouldn't disagree with him. He was learned, but his conviction that brahmana is by birth was so strong that he couldn't take the real purport of the shastra. That chaturvarnam maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagashah. Krishna is clearly saying guna karma. Why are you saying janma? Where is janma coming from? There is no janma mentioned. Janma, Krishna says guna and karma, by qualities and by activities. But people become so blind that they cannot accept the fact that anyone else has the adhikar to become a brahmana. So therefore, in one sense, the understanding that I got out of it is I am thankful to the Lord I was not born in a brahmana family. Because it can impede one's spiritual progress sometimes. Because the aham mameti can come like that also. That I am a brahmana. You don't have the adhikar, only I have the adhikar. Very typical of the Daksha Prajapati pastime. I am a devotee. Lord Shiva, you are not a devotee. So pride can enter anywhere. So therefore today's brahmanas, you see, this is going on in today's society. Most of them do not know the real purpose of a brahmana. Many people also think that having a sacred thread means a brahmana. And it is said in the scripture, it is actually revealed in the scripture. Bhagavatam says, and brahmana can be identified in Kali Yuga how? Just because he is wearing a sacred thread. That's all. I know a lot of brahmanas in my yesteryears, that when they used to go to the temple, and you know, sometimes in South Indian temple you have to open up your shirt and then take the darshan bare chested. You can't wear anything on the chest because the Lord is also bare chested traditionally, because traditionally in Vedic atmosphere men don't wear anything. This kurta is actually a kind of a Muslim influence actually, so we don't use to wear kurta. It's chadar and dhoti, right? So you have to take out your shirt and banyan and then witness the Lord. So when you take darshan, you don't wear anything on top. You should have a chadar and take the darshan. So just before they enter the darshan, they have to put the sacred bread. And then after they finish the darshan, the sacred bread goes into the pocket. Sometimes they say sacred bread is important, you can scratch your back with it. You know, so this is the purpose of sacred bread these days. So they do not understand the significance of what is the purpose of the sacred bread, what is the significance of chanting Gayatri and connecting to the Lord through a Brahmanical performance. So what Sukadev Goswami is trying to tell us is becoming a Brahmana is a very, very, very elevated situation, state in the society. We studied a few classes ago, Shudra, in the seventh canto, it is explained the qualities of a Shudra. Even becoming a Shudra in Kali Yuga is very difficult. Shucha Dravanam, to actually be compassionate to every living entity is the quality of a Shudra. Now, who is compassionate to every living entity? So, in fact, Kalau Shudra Sambhava probably is also not true these days. Kalau Lecture Sambhava. So even becoming to the platform of Varnashrama, which is the bottommost ladder, which is Shudra itself, is very difficult. What to talk of Brahmana? Brahmana is very, very elevated state. And yet, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish and bring back the topmost layer, which is one cannot have a society without the Brahmanas. It is a headless society. So therefore, Prabhupada is trying to re-establish that layer of the society back into the reality of the spiritual practice. And if you come to South India, you'll see a lot of these type of Brahmanas as well. I know I come from Bangalore. There in South India, there is a big tradition of conducting Satyanarayana Vrat, Satyanarayana Puja. A lot of people conduct the Satyanarayana Vrata. Now, Satyanarayana Vrata is the worship of the Supreme Lord, no doubt about it, it's auspicious. Nothing against the word. But how it goes is, if somebody wants to conduct Satyanarayana Vrata, how they go about choosing a pujari, right? Now, if you go and Google, you will find pujaris and their rates mentioned. 2000 rupees only, all inclusive. And then there will be a pujari saying 5000 rupees. Then there will be a pujari saying it's 25,000 rupees. It's the same puja. Why are different rates there? So the costliest pujari will have his clientele, has done Satyanarayana puja in the house of Ambanis, in the house of Tendulkars, in the house of etc. 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 So therefore his price also is high. And he will have a lot of additional add-ons as well. He will decorate your house with garlands, flowers. So the crux is, people will go for such pujaris. Because it's a show-off. The person, the pujari who is trying to worship and invoke the Supreme Lord in your house by just taking 2,000 rupees as dakshina, he is actually least respected nowadays. The person who is showing off, that pujari is more valued these days because he's showing off. So the real purpose of Brahmanical worship and Brahmanical significance in the society is getting lost. And therefore we can appreciate the importance of why Prabhupada was meditating that this has to be re-established in its proper sense. So that's what our movement is trying to do. And it is actually said in the Padma Purana that if you really want to go to hell, if you want to go to hell, become a Purohit or speak on Puranas. Become a speaker of Purana or become a Purohit. It is written in Padma Purana, there is a verse. If you want to go to hell, become a Purohit or start speaking, become a Purana speaker. Why? Because Purohita, the meaning of Purohita. Purohit means a pujari. Purahita. Pura means what?
Jivas.
The jivas or the body. Hita means benefactor. One who is the benefactor of the jivas is a Purohita. So if I cannot bring benevolence to the person, to the praja, as a Purohita, then I take all their karma. If I am as a Purohit, conducting a sacrifice, and if I don't do it to worship the Supreme Lord, I am actually misleading the people who is conducting it, through for whom I am conducting it, and therefore all the karma of the person who is being conducted comes to the Purohita. Can you imagine? So therefore, if somebody wants to go to a hill, Purohit, you should become a Purohit. The scriptures are quite open about it, and yet people do not understand the significance of it. That is the dangers. And so being a Brahmana, that's why we have, why I'm saying all this is becoming a Brahmana is a very, very high responsibility actually. And even in ISKCON, when we get initiated as second initiated devotees, it is just the beginning of a supreme end where we are expected to come to that platform of Pandita Samadarshana, come to that platform of Yajnadana, Saucham, you know, the qualities of the Brahman. So one has to develop those Shantirajana, all those qualities have to be developed. So that it's a very high game, high end game to become a Brahman. But, and also it is said that Prabhupada writes in the verse, Satkarma Nipuno Vipra, Vipro, Mantra Tantra Visharada. So one may be very learned, as we saw in my friend's case, he was very learned, no doubt about it. But he was saying that, I asked him, what is your sadhana? He said, I used to chant the mantra. I said, what mantra and what do you do now? I said, I have stopped chanting the mantra. I said, why? What is that mantra? He said, I can't tell you the mantra because I've been initiated by my spiritual master. I said, that's fine, but so what time do you practice? What was your sadhana? He said, I have achieved the goal of the mantra, so I don't have to chant anymore. I've reached the pinnacle now. I said, oh my God, that's a bit, it seemed like it was completely in Maya. So he thought he's realized now. He doesn't have to chant any mantras now. He's realized. He's already in that stage of Pandita Samadarshana. So it kind of made me a bit shocked to understand that he's completely being misled by someone. And he's still being intelligent. He was following that the stupidity with conviction. And therefore, that is why we have to understand that Kama hits the intelligence, it's destroyed. Buddhi. So if the lust goes into the intelligence, everything is lost. It's very difficult to convince them back again. So therefore, here, that's why here the Brahmanas are claiming themselves as Brahmanas means one has to be at that very elevated stage. And therefore, if you see in the Purusha Sukta, it is said, Brahmano Mukhamasi. The Lord also says in the second canto that Brahmanas have come from my mouth. What does that mean? It means that when a Brahmana speaks, he is speaking what the Lord wants to speak. Brahmano Mukham Asit. The Lord eats through the mouth of the Brahmana. If you go to Udupi, there is a unique tradition. When the offering of the Lord goes on the altar, there are three offerings happening simultaneously. The offering to the deities, Brahmano Mukham Asit, Brahmano Vigraha Asit, like the offering has gone to the deities. At the same time, the offering is happening at the fire. At the same time, a few Brahmanas are also being fed. So, the Lord is being fed in three different forms. The form of fire, the form of Brahmanas, the form of the deity. At the same time, three offerings take place. If you see, during the Nandotsav, even Prabhupada appearance day, we bring offerings here to Srila Prabhupada. And these are direct offerings. We offer to spiritual master directly. They are not prasadam, but we offer bhoga as well. Why? Because they carry the Supreme Lord in their hearts. So offering to the spiritual master means offering to the Supreme Lord. So because they are Brahmanas, because they carry the Supreme Lord in their heart. So Brahmano Mukhamasi. So this is the practice. And then we invoke the Lord in terms of the fire. Yeah, if you see, among the material elements, the purest is the fire, because fire, if you see, no matter which way you put the fire, it always burns on, it always burns towards the top. Earth is reminiscent of tamas. Tamas is ignorance. Earth is the element, whereas the fire is reminiscent of sattva guru. Therefore, the Lord is invoked through fire, and that is why Prabhupada inculcated this practice of fire sacrifice during the initiation ceremonies, during other ceremonies, during deity installation. We also invoke the auspiciousness of the Lord through the form of a fire, because he is Agni Narayana. So we invoke the Lord through this form of a fire, because he is all purifying, like the fire. So therefore, seeing the Lord in all of these, seeing the Lord in the deities, seeing the Lord through the fire, Brahmano Mukham Asit, and then worshipping the deities, and if you see, Lord Brahma addresses Lord Shiva after the Daksha Yajna, you know. He addresses Lord Shiva as Bhagavan. Do you remember? He addresses Lord Shiva as Bhagavan. Why do they address Lord Shiva as Bhagavan? Why does Lord Brahma address Lord Shiva as Bhagavan?
Is they carry Bhagavan?
Correct. Simple. Because Brahma is seeing Bhagavan in everyone. So when he sees Lord Shiva, he is personification of that devotee who carries Lord Bhagavan all the time. So therefore Bhagavan, just like we call everyone Prabhu, he calls Bhagavan. Not, we are all not Prabhus, he is the Prabhu. But still we address everyone as Prabhu because we are supposed to carry the Lord in the heart. Tumare hridaye sada Govinda Vishram. That's what our Acharyas have sung in the bhajan. So therefore it is very important to understand that Brahmana means one who carries one in the heart. And carries the Lord in the heart. And if you see the next words that the Sukadeva Goswami uses, he says, Vipra Mangala Pujitaha. Brahmanas are saying, you did a very auspicious puja. Brahmanas are saying. Now what is that auspicious puja that Nabi did? What is that Mangala puja he did? It is explained further, and Sridhar Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura comments that when any sacrifice or puja is done by Brahmanas, it should be complete by giving dakshina, by giving donation to the Brahmanas. Now, the closest word for dakshina is donation. There is no other word like donation. It's an offering of love. It's not a mandatory fee that you give to the Brahmanas. It's an offering of love for the Brahmanas. Oh, my dear Lord, spiritual master, thank you very much. And here is what I can give you to the best of my capability. So one has to give Guru Dakshina. Therefore it becomes auspicious. Krishna actually mentions this in the 17th chapter. Vidihinam Ashrishtannam. Vidihinam Ashrishtannam. Mantrahinam Adakshinam. So these are the... So Shraddhavihinam Yagnam Tamasam Parichakshate. Krishna is saying, what is that? If there is no vidhi, there is no process, ashrishtanam, there is no distribution of prasadam, and mantrahinam, there is no proper chanting of the mantras, and adakshinam, there is no dakshina, or there is no dakshina to the brahmanas, that particular sacrifice or puja is said to be tamasam parichakshate. It is said to be worshipped in the mode of ignorance. So Krishna is saying this. Therefore, it is very important we give dakshina. If you all know that when we get initiated, what we do after initiation? We collect dakshina. What is that? That is because the Lord has actually established the manifestation of the Lord through us through the medium of sound. Right? So this is also, even the initiation ceremony is very similar to what Nabi is going through here. Nabi has witnessed the Lord. We are also supposed to witness the Lord through the fire sacrifice and through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and through the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra which has been given during the first and the second initiation. And therefore, because of the success of that puja, we have to give dakshina to the spiritual master. When we go and give the books, what do we ask them? We ask them dakshina, not money. We ask them dakshina. We ask a donation, isn't it? It is a dakshina. Therefore, that book distribution becomes auspicious. Not money. We don't want their money. We want dakshina. Why? We want dakshina because their life becomes satisfactory. Their sacrifice of buying a book becomes auspicious. That is the intent. That is why dakshina is very important. Then it becomes mangala pujita. It's very interesting, isn't it? All these are very linked. I remember because when someone gives dakshina, it purifies the person who is giving it. It's a purifying act. And because it is given with humility and with love. It is not with fees. Okay, what is your fees, Brahmana? Okay, I'll give you a check. Okay, take it. This is what happens these days out back there. But that is not the purpose. The purpose is we give it with offering of love. So therefore, it is very important. I remember 10 years ago when I was very new into the Hare Krishna temple. I did not know much of ISKCON then. And we had come here to do Ayush Homa for my son. And Gangeshwar Prabhu was doing it. And after all of this, Gangeshwar Prabhu said, you need to give dakshina. As soon as he asked me that, I thought, oh, okay, here also it is the same principle that I've seen in Bangalore. So here also they're asking money. But immediately Gangeshwar Prabhu rectified me. He said, even if it is an apple, that's fine, but give me a dakshina, he said. When he said that, it shocked me. Oh, okay, an apple? Okay, that means it means something else. It doesn't mean that he's after money. Then I ask, what is the purpose of this? Then he actually, you know, Ganesh Prabhu always gives the purport of the Shastra. He's a true Brahman. So he said, Mangala Pojita, whatever you have done, to actually seal it with goodness for you, because to have the benediction of the Lord Hari, you need to give some Dakshina so that you get purified. Not that I need it, so that you get purified. The Dakshina is not required by the Brahman. Brahmanas don't need it because they are santushtaha yena kenacha. So they are satisfied with what they have done because they have witnessed the Lord. Here the Brahmanas have witnessed the Lord. So they doesn't mean they are happy with Nabi's golden ornament that he has gifted. It is just that Nabi has become pure by that process of Mangala Pujita. So therefore, I remember and I have to thank Gangesha Prabhu from my heart for guiding me and training me. Like in the very initial days, actually he told me this, that it is important to give Dakshina. Because I remember in my younger days, we used to do Ganesh Puja. I don't know if you all know, in India, if it is Ganesh Chaturthi, and I used to lead that. I used to go collect money from everyone and then put Ganesha, deity of Ganesh, and then call a pujari to do all of the activities, right? And this pujari, whom we had called, every 2-3 hours he used to get vanished. He used to vanish from the scene. And he used to say, where is the pujari? Where is the pujari? People are coming. He used to call his days. And we always used to find him behind the tent. We used to have a tent, and behind the tent we used to find him. Auspicious person. He's passed away now, he's not there, but I must say, it used to shock me. We were kids then. I was a college guy, so I didn't know much about pure devotional service. Not that I know now. We used to find him behind the tent. And you know what he used to do behind the tent? Every 2-3 hours, he used to go and smoke bidi. So pujari. And he said, my God, pujari ji, what are you doing? Says, oh, 2 hours, no time, so I have to take a break. And what break are you taking? No, you have to go take a bath? No, don't worry, I'll manage everything. And then he used to purify himself with asana and come back into the body. So I was thinking, what is this? What is going on? Now we have to finish our business, so we used to continue. Okay, next time we'll change the pujari, not this much. Because if someone comes to know, then they will not give us donation to do this Ganesha puja. So we used to experience all of this. So it's very important to know that Brahmana Dakshina is very significant, and at the same time we respected him. Yeah, he was as a chhatra, as a disciple, there is another quality. We should not consider the shortcomings of someone as shortcomings and think that we are better than him. Because every jiva is struggling with some modes. So although he was struggling with that habit, but he was still pious because he had got the birth of a Brahmana. So, and he was very pious actually, and the way he left his body also is very interesting. So this was the pujari who was living in that house. And therefore, and why is it Mangala Pujitaha? Not just because we gave a donation to the Brahmana, not just because Brahmanas take the donation, Dakshina, but because they invoke the auspicious Lord. That is why it is Mangala Pujitaha. The Brahmana has to be able, he should be connected to the Lord, right? It is said, Pavitranam cha pavitram yo manganam cha mangalam. Vishmadev says in the Vishnu Sahasranam, that Mangalam is the Supreme Lord. So therefore, the Brahmanas who invoke the Supreme Lord, they are auspicious. Therefore, it becomes Mangala Pujita. So it is just not Vipra, that's not Brahmana, but it has to be Mangala Pujita, one who can invoke the auspiciousness, or one who can invoke the presence of Hari. And another character, so this verse is filled with nuggets. If you see the last characteristic that is explained, Yasya Barhishi Yagnesham Darshayam Asuku Ojasa. There is another characteristic of the Brahmanas. It is called as Ojasa. Now, Krishna says in the 15th chapter, Gama Vishyaka Bhutani Dharayam Yaham Ojasa. Krishna says, I am Ojasa. I am that energy which sustains everything. Dharayam Aham Ojasa. I am sustaining everything, Arjuna. So therefore, Ojasa here, Prabhupada translates in the word-to-word meaning as by Brahmanical prowess. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura translates it as by the dint of devotional service. They both are not contradictory. Someone's Brahmanical prowess can come from so many varieties. It can come from mantra janito, because one is chanting the mantras very nicely. Mantra janito. It can come by tapas janito, because the Brahmanas are very good in tapasya. Therefore, they can have that energy of the Lord called Ojas. So, Ojas is an energy of the Lord that they can invoke, the Brahmanas can invoke. So, Krishna actually, Vishnu says in the second canto that tapo me hridayam sakshat atmaham tapaso nikah. That I am tapasya. Krishna says, I am tapasya. My energy is tapasya. I have created this cosmos by my tapasya. I annihilate this and I maintain it by tapasya. So what is that tapasya? Tapasya means the energy of the Lord. So that is not different to that ojasa that the brahmanas are explaining here. So therefore, the brahmanas are vipras, they are mangala pujitas, and they are ojas. If you see in the Vishnu Sahasranama, it is said, ojas tejo dhutidhara prakashatma pratapanaha. Ojas tejo dhutidhara. Krishna is called as ojas tejo dhutidhara. Means he is the beholder of ojas and tejas. Tejas is the effulgence of the sun. If you see the verse, Yadaditya Gatam Tejo, I am the splendor of the sun. And in the same way, I am saying I am the Ojas. Krishna is saying I am the Ojas and the Tejo. So therefore, he is Ojas Tejo Jyotidhara. And Brahmanas can have access to that energy of the Lord. So that is what is coming out here. So, how do we then apply all of this to us in our scenario as practitioners of Krishna Bhakti? If we see, Prabhupada has been giving us the darshan of the Lord all the time. Just as we saw now Vedavyasa is trying to teach us that Nagi is in this canto, right? But how is Vedavyasa's teachings coming to us? It is only because of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is actually trying to show us the navel of the Lord through this fifth canto. It is Prabhupada who is showing us. Now Prabhupada has done deity installations. When Prabhupada did deity installation, he actually manifested the prana pratishthapana in one of these deities. So this is manifesting the Lord in the earth. No, it is just not stone. The stone that into which the Lord has been manifested by the Brahman. Who is the Brahmana here? Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada has invoked the auspiciousness of the Lord so that Shri Radha Vallabh, Shri Jagannath Vallabh Subhadra and Gaur Nitai are resident eternally here. We just have to develop the eyes to see them. Prabhupada has given the Lord, has invoked the Lord here already. That's one way. The second way is He has given us the Lord through Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada has invoked the Lord through the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Through the mantra, through the sound vibration. So in terms of the material elements, fire is the purest. In terms of the perception, sound is the purest. Fire is to shape and sound is to ears. So therefore, sound is very purifying. And through sound, we can witness the Lord. And therefore, Prabhupada has given us that opportunity to witness the Lord through sound, through the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And how did this come? This came from Supreme Lord Himself. Who other than Namo Mahavadaniyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Krishna Namaha. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this Mahamantra so that we can witness the Supreme Lord all the time. Okay, how beautiful is this? So where are those Brahmanas? Who are those Brahmanas for us? For us it is the devotees. For us it is our spiritual master. We have to thank Srila Prabhupada that He has given us these beautiful temples, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He has given us the beautiful blessings of our spiritual master who can guide us every minute, every second to witness the Lord. We have to have that Bhagavad Anubhava. That is the purpose of our devotional service, that we can witness the Lord. One day I can see Krishna face to face. I can witness the Lord face to face. And we are in that process of that. So it is said, I'll end that by saying, in Vrindavan there is a saying, it is said, Sei Radha Nama Le Japa Koi Sahajahi Damodara Vashapo. If we take the name of Radha Rani, Sahajahi Damodara Vashapo. So if you take the name of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, very easily Damodara can be captured. So with this, I'll just summarize. So that what this verse was talking about is the glorification of the Brahmanas, the glorification of King Navi by the Brahmanas. And what it takes to be a Brahmana, becoming a Brahmana is a very, very elevated position because they can invoke the Lord. And that should be our goal so that we can also invoke the Lord in our personal lives. At all time and places. Hari Sarvatra Giyati. Okay, so I'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments, or questions, we can discuss for a while.
I have two questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. the concept that you said, carrying Bhagavan into her. Just to go back to understand what you mean by, for example, in this case, you mentioned about Lord Shiva is called Bhagavan because it's carrying the Lord. Because in two texts before, as far as I understand, I remember, Prabhupada explained that personalities like Narada, Lord Shiva, Brahma, they are called Bhagavan because they have, they invert in their personality the qualities of the Lord. Not that they carry the Lord, but they have the qualities of the Lord. And also, I understand that in the all living entities, the Lord, the Paramatma, is in the heart of all living entities. So all of us, we are carrying the Lord. So we should call Bhagavan, we should be called Bhagavan in that sense, because we are carrying the Lord as the Lord.
Yes.
Or what is, yes. For that reason, I just wanted to understand what you mean when we say carrying the Lord.
If you see the bhajan, Ebaro Koruman Koro, Egoro Koruna Koro, if you read the bhajan, Tumhare Hridaye Sada Govinda Vishram. Tumhare Hridaye Sada Govinda Vishram. The Lord is sleeping in your heart all the time. It is the resting place of the heart. Your heart is the resting place of Lord Hari. What it means by that is, now Paramatma is there in every living entity. But the distinction between such elevated personalities is they have realized that there is. So if you see the verse that Prabhupada always quotes, Dvasuparna Sayuja Sakhaya Samanam Vriksham Parishashvajate. Now you know the verse, right? Dvasuparna Sayuja Sakhaya. There are two birds sitting on the same tree. Dvasuparna Sayuja Sakhaya Samanam Vriksham Parishashvajate. They are sitting on the same tree. But one is busy with their material activities, the other one is just witnessing it. But who are these, such as these Bhagavan, who can be addressed as Bhagavan, they have realized that there is a Supreme Lord sitting next to me. And they are connected with, they have become antarmukha. Because they are connected to the Supreme Lord all the time, they have realized that the Lord is sitting in my heart. And they have realized that the Lord is sitting in everyone's heart. Therefore, they become cognizant about the God's qualities. So therefore, it is always said, existence itself is not important. Realization of that existence is the key. So existence of the Lord in every heart of a living being is just not enough. But realizing that the Lord is existing in everyone's heart is very important. Otherwise, if we do not come to that platform, why do we do offenses? Vaishnava Aparad happens only because I have not realized that there is a Supreme Lord within me and within us, within everyone. So these devotees whom we are addressing, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Narada Muni, they all have realized that Lord is resident within their heart. They are connected to Him. Because they are connected to Him all the time, therefore they become eligible to be called as Bhagavan. Because they become non-different to the Supreme Lord in terms of qualitative. That is why Prabhupada talks about quality. Because then they become non-different in terms of quality, because they have recognized that they are non-different in terms of qualitative oneness. Does it make sense, Madhuri? Because they have recognized it, they have realized it. And they are in that trance all the time, 24 hours. Sarvatra sarvada. So therefore they become eligible to be called as or addressed as Bhagavan, because they carry the Lord in their hearts all the time.
And at the same time, that awareness that the Lord is in our heart,
yeah.
perhaps, but that's a question, it would be enabling us to interact with the Lord, not just as a Paramatma, but also as a Bhagavan. So in that way, it would be carrying the Lord, not just Paramatma, but Bhagavan itself.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the Paramatma who manifests as the Supreme Lord. If you read the 2.9.35, Yatha Mahanti Bhutani, the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. In the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Yatha Mahanti Bhutani, Bhutesha Chavacheshwanu, Pravishthani Apravishthani, Tatha Teshwana Teshwana. In that, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura comments
that the Lord becomes obliged for a pure devotee to come out of his heart and manifest in front of him so that he can have a reciprocal relationship. So the Lord becomes obliged to come out and then reciprocate. Of course, he's in my heart, he's everywhere. But he comes out just like Narsimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj is seeing the Lord everywhere. And yet he manifested in one pillar and came out so that Prahlad Maharaj can reciprocate with him in a specific way. So therefore, it doesn't mean that Lord was not there in his heart at that time when he was witnessing Narsimhadev. So therefore he said, Narsimhadev is there in this pillar too, he said. He did not say he is there in that pillar. He is there in that pillar too. That means he is there in my heart, he is there here, he is there here, he is there here too. So therefore, understanding Vishnu, sir, Vishnu is there everywhere. Vishnu is only present God. And yet he manifests in a specific form so that I can have a relationship with him. He is there everywhere in terms of his energies, but he also has a personality, and that personality is what someone yearns to see.
If you allow me a small comment as a complement to what you said, when you in the first volume presented that the Brahmanas, the prowess of the Brahmanas, the atheists, because of that they are very exalted. Also, it's just remembering what Prabhupada mentioned in the Bhagavad, in the purpose of this text. Prabhupada said that these Brahmanas, yes, they have power, they have prowess, but their prowess is because they were Vaisnavas. So that is quite an important thing that we have to mention.
Correct.
Because they were Vaisnavas,
yes.
So their power to attract the Lord.
Yeah.
Not just because they were Brahmanas, renounced, very knowledgeable, and they attracted God, but because they were Vaishnavas, their devotion at the end of the purpose, Prabhupada said, because of their devotion is the Lord will manifest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Krishna is hankering for devotion of his devotees, so it's for that reason that he allowed himself to come, and
Absolutely. Because of the devotion.
If it's that the power of the Brahmana's devotion, so a Shudra, a Vaishya, a Kshatriya, anybody can do it because it's the devotion, the power that make or attract the Lord.
Absolutely. See, in one sense we distinguish the word between Brahmana and Vaishnava. There is no difference between those two words. Brahmana means a Vaishnava.
It should be. Yeah.
He is a Vaishnava. Brahmana means Brahmajana, the one who knows the Lord. So who can know the Lord? Bhaktyamaha abhijanati. So if you don't have bhakti, you cannot know the Lord. Brahma janati iti brahmana. So how do I know the Lord? How am I a brahmana? Only if I know the Lord. How do I know the Lord? Only if I do a bhakta. So therefore, brahmana means a Vaishnava. Brahmana means a Vaishnava. There is no other definition of brahmana.
It should be like that.
That is what the scriptures are alluding. There can't be a brahmana who claims to be a brahmana and yet not a Vaishnava. Brahmana means a Vaishnava. Because he has to know, Brahma Janati iti Brahma. One who knows the Supreme Lord, but therefore yet there are people who do not accept that. Therefore in their puja they will do all their demigod worship or devata worship. And in the end they will add a line, Sarvam Krishna Arpana Astu, they will say that. Okay, whatever I have done, the puja of Ganapati, Kali or Lord Shiva. Ultimately, the Bhoktaram is Sarvam Krishna Arpana Astu. I am offering this to Lord Krishna. They will conclude it like that. Right? So that is also one way to understand that they know that the purpose that I actually every offering has to be meant to please the Lord. So therefore, in stricter sense, Brahmana means a Vaishnava. In the stricter sense, one who has seen the Lord everywhere and one who is actually accessing the Lord in one sense. But because there is a connotation that there is a Vaidika Brahmana who does ritualistic activities, he is also called as a Brahmana, but there is a substandard understanding of the definition of Brahmana. Real Brahmana means one who is a devotee. That is why he is addressed here, Brahmanyo, Vipraha, Mangala Pojitaha, Ojasa. All these are qualities of those Brahmanas. So why is Sukadeva Goswami addressing them as Brahmanas? And Prabhupada is making us understand that Brahmana means Vaishnava. That's why Prabhupada writes that in the purport that they could do that because they were Brahmanas. Because they were Brahmanas, because they were Vaishnavas, they could access the energies of the Lord and they could invoke the Lord. Why? Because they were Vaishnavas.
Yeah. Yeah. One point that I personally like, I just said, at the end of your class, trying to project this text in our current time, the benefit of what a Brahmana, Vaishnavas, a Prabhupada, his promise to bring out the Lord to us and show us through the deities, Brahmas, and the holy name. That's a really quite interesting point. Thank you so much for this current experience that all we have, we can live out, and just these texts be practical experience for us as well. Thank you.
Thank you. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, वैष्णव वृंद की जय, गीता गौर प्रेमानंद
So, but here we see the Vaishnavas or the Acharyas, they don't even accept, you know, the food stuff which is not offered to the Lord. They will not even touch it. So my question is, you know, during the appearance day of the great Acharyas, we devotees, they offer bhoga, like the spread word. So how do we see this, you know, that when they were personally present, they didn't even touch anything which was not offered to the Lord?
No, they do up, they walk sometimes.
So, sorry for interrupting, but I have the direct experience with my Guru Maharaj about it too. That's another question I wanted to mention, is, well, his comment. With my Guru Maharaj directly, we did that in Yasapuya for Boga, and he himself said, it's okay, Boga, because I will offer to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada will offer to Krishna. Then we can do it. It's not like he will eat Boga, because he will offer to Boga.
Eating itself is a puja. When we eat because we are hungry. When spiritual masters eat, they don't eat because it's hungry. They think there is Vaishwanara, the Lord is inside my belly as a fire. So their eating is a sacrifice to the Lord. So they don't think it's my tongue that is hungry, my belly. They think, oh my dear Lord, this is your worship. So they do manas puja also while eating. So they are actually offering it all the time. They're offering it to their spiritual master, they're offering it to the. That's why they're connected to the Lord 24 hours. So therefore it doesn't make a difference when they eat bhoga directly also, because they're offering to the Lord directly. But yet they teach us, because for us, we have to inculcate that so that it can embed in our mind. So that is the end game. You have to reach to that stage where I can always remember the Lord. See, if you keep offering to the Lord, now all of a sudden when I'm going to eat an apple, I say, oh, this is not offered. We are already getting that in our mind, correct? So that is what we need to reach to, that consciousness. So it's the consciousness that's important. And then we have to offer it and then eat. So therefore, what the spiritual master does is that, basically. So they can accept bhoga. Because they are elevated personalities, they can do that. And they have access to the spirit. Does it answer, Prabhu?
So basically, what you mentioned is that they will offer to the spiritual master first?
Always. They always offer. Whether you accept the offer prasadam or yoga, when they partake, oh my dear spiritual master, you have given, I've read, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when they used to serve him on the banana leaf, he used to pay obeisances to the prasadam before he accepted it. Because that is not food, that is the Supreme Lord. So they see the Supreme Lord, so the consciousness is very high, actually. So they don't distinguish in that sense. So therefore, when they accept prasadam, they are actually worshipping the Lord. So every activity of the Supreme Lord, of the spiritual master, is a worship. When they speak, it's a worship of the Lord. When they sing, it's a worship of the Lord. When they eat, it's a worship of the Lord. When they laugh, it's a worship of the Lord. Because they are connected to the Lord all the time. They are not distinct at any moment, because their consciousness is filled with the Lord all the time. So therefore, they can accept bhoga. At times they would do it. But they also imbibe us, so we can also practice it in our lives, therefore they teach to offer. That's an answer.
Because there was one pastime Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, that he never accepted mango because it was not offered to the Lord.
Yes.
So he said, I will not have mangoes alone.
Yeah. Yes. That was when his child, when his father said, you ate without offering.
Yes.
Thank you. Rashi Mahavishnu Kishan Prabhupada Kitam.